Thank you, Miriam and Trevor. Last time my sister was here, Trevor sang, and my sister didn't know who he was, but Trevor was growing his hair out for the locks of love. And my sister talked to me later, and she said, "I don't know who that old boy is with the long hair, but Mark better not lose him out of the choir." And I said, "Yeah, he's come up through our music program." My sister sent me a pic text this week of back when she was in the Holy Land. And I remember she told me when she got back, she was so impressed with the 18 and 19-year-olds that were forced into service with their draft in Israel. But she talked with about 25 of the female troops who were 18, 19 years old. And she said, "I was impressed at their allegiance to their country. They didn't resent having to serve." So she had her picture made with all 25 of those young ladies in their combat gear. And they're all smiling, and my sister's there with them. And at the caption at the bottom, my sister said, "Now, this would be the faces of war." And it was a touching picture. So we need to certainly pray for Ukraine and also Israel. Well, you know, one of my favorite passages of scriptures in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, and just because I preach from the same text a lot doesn't mean it's the same message. So this is new. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I remember about 2 years when I was in the same school in grades 1 through 12, we had a young man in our class that we all resented. I don't know about you, but you may have had a nerd in your class, but we had one. He was about 6'1", about this big around, and he aced every exam we ever took. What we were counting on, those of us who were average and below average students, we were counting on the grades not being good overall. And back in those days, before No Child Left Behind, they had a bell-shaped curve. And if the grades were sort of middling to failing, the teacher always helped you out with a curve. So I knew that even if I made a 60 or 65 on a test, I might get curved up to 75 and get a C. But that didn't happen for those 2 years because of this young man named Joe. He was not a social person. He didn't try to fit in with any particular group. And his hobby was studying. So after every exam, those of us who were on the lower end of the bell, we made our D's and F's. And because Joe studied, the teacher would always have ammunition. She would stand up and she'd say, "Listen, if the rest of you would study like Joe, you could make A's as well." Well, others of us had a life outside of school, so we didn't want to study all the time. Well, the problem when Jesus walked the face of this earth, when he showed up, he always messed up the curve. Even the Jewish leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they like to compare themselves to the average common person. They saw themselves as superior. They certainly looked down on all the Gentiles and saw themselves as superior. And to be honest with you, sometimes we're judgmental. And we think we're superior to other Christians and far superior to those who've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. And the problem with that thinking is when we come and compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all inferior to him. He is the divine standard. Not only is he the only perfect person to ever walk the face of the earth, but he has a name that is superior to all others. we all ought to value our name. That's biblical. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But tonight I want to lift up the greatest name known to man, the sweetest name ever spoken. Jesus is often on the lips of a person who's about to meet Christ through death. Jesus is often on the lips of people who have just witnessed the birth of their child or their grandchild. Sometimes when decisions are made in our nation sometime with the affairs of government and men, that is just very significant and very biblical, we like to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One Bible scholar said, it's a taste of honey to your ears. His name is a taste of honey to your tongue, and also hope to our heart. Paul said, it is the name which is above every name. You can match every good man in the world to another good man. I was reading one commentary. It said, well, you can talk about Caesar conquered the world. You can talk about Alexander. You can talk about Napoleon, but then he was defeated by Wellington at Waterloo. And then they said, you can take Plato and put him by Socrates. And you take Lincoln and put him by Lee. And you can take Beethoven and compare him to Mendelssohn. But he said, you cannot take the name of a mortal man and compare that to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about Jesus, you don't think about falsehood. You think about truth. Jesus is the substance of life. He's the bread of life, and he is also the water of life. And he is the one with his radiance and beauty. He is the one with what he did on the cross with his blood is the one that shines light in the midst of darkness. So first of all, in this devotional message, I want to talk about our favorite name. The name of Jesus is precious to God the Father. So the Bible says here that it is God who has highly exalted him, and it is God the Father who's given him the name that is above every name. You think about the name of Jesus. The other day I had somebody to put in a new door handle for me at home, a new doorknob. Now, as you get older, sometimes you don't know exactly where your keys are. So I had one of those combination locks put in. The only problem with that is when the batteries go dead. And so the person that put my lock in did it while I wasn't there. They didn't leave me the instructions on how to program the combination. They also did not leave me the key to the lock. And I'll promise you that they have lost both the key and the instructions. So I'm just going to have to go on YouTube and find out how to get in and out of my door. But when you think about the key to heaven, the name of Jesus is the only one who opens the doors of heaven for us. You think about abundance of power at the throne of grace. You know, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, when you want something, when you need something in your life, you can use my name at the Father's throne, and that gives you the power of attorney through me. John 16:23, Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He said, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. So the name is precious. The name of Jesus is precious to God the Father. But he also let us know that when you pray, you can't access the throne in the name of one of the apostles. You can't access the name of the Lord in prayer, the throne of grace, through the name of one of the prophets. You can't access the throne of God through Buddha. You cannot access the name of God, the throne of God in prayer through Muhammad, because God does not hear. But what Jesus says, if you pray in my name, God pauses from what he's doing in the world to hear you and answer your prayer. But not only is Jesus a precious name to his followers, a powerful name, but notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is the name of Jesus music to your ears? You know how to get rid of a telemarketer, don't you? When they call and want to sell you a car warranty, and it's a live person, what you need to do is when they, after they get through with their spiel, you want to say, do you know Jesus is your Savior? And when they ask you another question, they say, just tell them, you realize you're a sinner and Jesus came to give his life so you might be saved. They'll hang up on you before you hang up on them. It's just a real courteous thing to do. But it says here that the name of Jesus ought to be precious because of what he's done, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do throughout all eternity. You know, names are so important, and I try my best to memorize people's names. And Warren will tell you this, when he worked here with me, and since then I'll have to call him on the phone, I'm trying to figure out the name of either a prospect or a member. And we do everything but play charades. And I'll give him pieces of clues, and he gives me pieces of clues, and most of the time we'll come up with a name. I was so disappointed the other day when I was reading people's real names. I read one man's name was Dino Crosetti. Do you know who that was? That was Dean Martin. And then Joseph Levitch. That was Jerry Lewis. And then Leonard Sly. He was one of my favorite because when I had my double six guns, my cap guns, and I had the little horse head with the broomstick, I was always Roy Rogers. I didn't know that was Leonard Sly. And then I was reading Israel Berlin. That was Irvin Berlin. And then Ishur Danielovich. That's Kirk Douglas. And listen to this. One of my heroes, Marion Michael Morrison. That was John Wayne. Fred Austerlitz. Fred Astaire. Nat Birnbaum. That was George Burns. When Jesus went up to glory, he ascended to the Father. And the Bible says that when he ascended, he stretched forth his nail-scarred hands as if to say to the disciples, this is my proof of my love for you, and I claim the right to be Lord of your life. And ever since then, he has been the leader of the church. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is the only precious name to us. So he should be our favorite name if we're born again. But notice the next thing I want you to see here. He's the forever name. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. The name of Jesus is a forever name. It's the perpetual name. Jesus' name will never expire. His name trumps every name, not only now, but also when he returns. And then we see at the second coming and throughout all eternity, the name of Jesus will stand forever and ever and ever as the name above every name. The prophet Daniel declared, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed. Have you ever thought about this? if Jesus was not on his throne, who in the Bible could take his place? I think about David. David was inspired by the Lord to write many of our Psalms. He was a great king, but he sinned. We think about Moses, through whom was given the Ten Commandments. And he did so much to honor the Lord in obedience to him, but Moses sinned, so he doesn't qualify to be on the throne. We think about Daniel, of whom nothing is said negative about him, but we know that he was a sinner, so he is not worthy. There's only one worthy to be on the throne, and his name is Jesus. Can you think of another forever name? My dad was born to Charles May. My dad's father died when my dad was 15 years old. My dad had two brothers and he had three sisters. One brother remained single. The other brother was married twice. His first wife died and he remarried and he didn't have any children. So mom and dad, they had two boys and two girls. And the two sons, we never had any children. So when we die, my brother and myself die, the Charles May lineage to the Mays dies forever from the face of this earth. And some people would say, praise God. Well, Jesus Christ came down from heaven. Now think about this. When he was on this earth, he wore the clothes of a peasant. And he was crowned with thorns and he was nailed to a cross. But listen, when he comes again, he's going to wear garments white as snow. His face is going to be brighter than the radiance of the sun. And his hands will be the scepter of universal dominion. And all the peoples of this world will bow before him and proclaim his name. And they will exalt the name of Jesus. Think about this. The name of Jesus never, ever ends. We can't even wrap our minds around that. Notice it's a forceful name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name is powerful. You think blind Bartimaeus, when he was healed, thought there was power in the name of Jesus? You better believe it. How about old dead Lazarus in a tomb? Been there so long he stunk. Lazarus, come forth. You think Lazarus and those people that stood around, his family members, did they believe there was power in the name of Jesus? This saving power in the name of Jesus. You know, there are a lot of great preachers. Wesley, R.G. Lee, Charles Spurgeon, First Baptist Dallas for so long. We used to go hear him. And Criswell. And there's just so many. And then you think about the poets, Browning, Longfellow, and Shakespeare, and Tennyson. In the military circles, you got Caesar, Alexander. You got Napoleon, you got Washington, and on, but folks, in salvation, there is only one name, and that is the saving name, and his name is Jesus. Romans 10:13 is very, very simple, and I quote it over and over again in invitations. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus, there's the key that unlocks the door to eternity in heaven for you, shall be saved. All a person has to do is call on his name to be saved, to have their life changed and transformed, to have the sins forgiven. It's all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only saving man, the only salvation for man. I was watching some of those clips on the news as all those terrorists were going through the streets just slaughtering people. They're raised from birth to do that. Nothing is off limits. And the problem that they have is right there from the beginning. They've been taught a false religion. They've been taught a savage religion. And they hate Christians and they hate Israel. And they feel that their purpose on earth is to wipe out Israel, to wipe out Christian people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So wherever the name is preached, wherever the name is proclaimed, people will be saved. Why is that? Because there's drawing power in the name of Jesus. But not only is there saving power, there's sustaining power available to us when we call on Him. Some people think, man, when I get saved, that's going to take care of all my problems. No, it's not. You're going to become more and more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ to give you grace to get you through every day, to give you wisdom. There's sustaining power. You know, Simon Peter, when he was walking on water, he was doing pretty good till he took his eyes off Christ. But did you know he remembered there's power in His name, and that's why he stepped out of the boat to begin with. In the journey of our Christian experience, we can sink down, and today as a Christian, you need to remember the power in the name of Jesus, and there's serving power in the name of Christ. Paul said, Colossians 3:17, that we should do all things as unto whom? The Lord. We ought to seek excellence. We see here the apostles were healing a man who had been crippled for 38 years, and the authorities came and they arrested the apostles because they had healed the man, and they put them in prison. In Acts 4:7, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? They shouldn't have asked that question, because Simon Peter said, I'll tell you. He said, we do it all in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's who made this man whole. I want to tell you, there's power to bless people in the name as you serve. I'm going to tell you, you can teach a class in your own strength and you're going to fail. You can sing solos in your own strength and you're going to fail. And I promise you this, when you get up to preach, if you preach it in your own power, you're going to fail. But he says here there is power for service. There's this serving power. And I want to tell you this, a church that serves in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail. I like what Tony Evans said. He said, God's program is the summing up of all things in Christ. He said, God's program is quite simple. God's agenda is bringing everything, everywhere, under the authority and the dominion of Jesus. He must work with wisdom and allow the power of God to work through us. Now notice the featured name in our speech. Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. Now let me ask you a question. We have been taught that since we were in Sunday school, and some of you were in RAs and GAs and mission friends. Some of you are old enough to remember Bible drill, and you had to memorize. You had to be able to go to that sword drill and find those Bible books. But we were taught Romans 10:9-10 long, long time ago. Let me ask you a question. As you read that, does it sound like that Jesus is raising up secret service agents? He says you're to do what? Profess with your mouth and believe in your heart for salvation. Profess it. We need to get it out publicly. I was reading about a man who was a businessman in his church and was really on fire for the Lord. And some of the church members there worked with him as well. And he said, they said that this man that's on fire, he out in public, I mean, he just witnessed to strangers. He witnessed in the workplace. In fact, the other fellow church members were uncomfortable with all he had to say about Christ. And here's what one of those friends said. He said, listen, he said, you should not demoralize religion by dragging it out in the public places. Well, it's not religion, it's a relationship. And the other thing, the Lord meant for us to do what? Get the name of Jesus out to all nations. It's to be public. The name of Jesus is a public name to be shared. It's to be spread. It's to be lifted up every experience that you have. I was so glad that the Lord put me in check the other day. I've played golf like four times in the last year, year and a half. And the other day I went down to play golf, and I'm just better off playing golf by myself. I can't hurt anybody. And so when I went to the parking lot to put up my clubs, there were five guys, crossed the parking lot, and they were paying off their bets. And then that's all right. That's what they want to do with their money. I don't have anything to do with that. Well, then they started using profanity and loud, you know, this, that, that. And I wanted to walk over there and say, and this is a deal with the devil. I wanted to walk over to them and say, if you'll stop cussing, I won't talk about Jesus over here and quote scripture. And that's a deal with the devil, isn't it? So I didn't do that. I just tried to tune that out. But what if we were just so consistent with our speech and sharing about Christ as lost people are, and sharing profanity all around us? Have you confessed the name of Jesus? You know, we talk about baptism. That's a public profession of faith. Death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It's also, you know, talking about the resurrection there. And Jesus coming again. We're confessing even the second coming. That's what baptism is. You know, have you denied the name of Jesus? Have you denied the name above every name? Have you taken the precious name of Jesus and denied that name? By his names, God wants us to know him and know what he can be to us. By his names, he makes himself known and what he can do for us. We look at his names, we have to say there's just something about that name. I love the old hymns. Trevor, thank you for singing what you did tonight. That gives me hope that hymns will be passed to the next generation. Some great contemporary music, but our hymns, most of them were wrought out of some deep spiritual crisis that people went through looking to the Lord. And Richard, you'll probably remember this. Dwayne, when we were going through seminary and working on our Masters of Divinity, they required us to take one course in church music. I was not looking forward to that, because if you can carry a tune next to me, I can do a little bit of it, but I'm almost like Richard and Ted. It's just I can wear out one note, but we're singing unto the Lord. And so we had to take church music and hymnology. And I used to tease Marjorie Barr when she was my administrative assistant. I said, I want you to look at all the books I got. I still have my church music books there on the bottom shelf over there collecting dust. But how many of you remember the song, The Sweetest Name I Know? Do you know what the history is behind that song? There was an international missionary in China, a medical missionary. And they get up every morning, go to their clinic, and not only would they minister to the physical needs and perform surgeries and other things to help people. But they also shared the gospel. And this missionary said one day there was this little slim lady who was there at the clinic when they opened. And she said, I could tell that this lady had journeyed a long way because the dust was just caked on her clothing and on her feet and on her sandals. She was ill. They took care of her and gave her the medicine and everything that she needed. And they said that when they got through treating her, they shared the plan of salvation with her. And they said, we'll never forget this. She accepted Jesus as her Savior. And as the tears went down her face, it just made drops of mud down her face because of the sand and the dust you'd experience walking miles to the clinic. Weeks went by, and one morning this particular missionary said, I had not left my little home there, and there was a knock on the door. The missionary said, when I opened the door, there stood that old woman. And here's what the woman said. Sir, he has saved me. And I know he lives in my heart. He made my life so happy. But sir, I have forgotten his name. Could you please tell me his name again? There's something about his name. There's something about all his names. And Paul says, his name is supreme. His name is superior. His name is above all names, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for inspiring Paul to paint this portrait of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in just these few verses. These are verses you could study for a week, a month, a year, and 5 years, and never ever be able to fully squeeze out all the spiritual truths that are there for us. Help us to live with that name on our lips, to be a ready witness for you. We thank you for the blood that was shed on that cross and the suffering that he did for us sinners. We don't deserve what you've given us. Help us be public and generous, sharing about his precious name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good night.